Lord, we come and dedicate this part of the service to you. I pray a special anointing upon Brother Dwight. Pray that the scripture that he has studied and the message he has prepared could now be shaped and formed by your Holy Spirit and empowered to change our lives and strengthen our love and dedication to you. Lord, work in us your good plan today, and we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Brother. Thank you.
Well, I greet you all in the worthy name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's good to see those that are here, and welcome. And for those who are observing from a distance, God bless you as well. And may the grace of God be a reality for each one of us. This morning's message I've entitled Transmitting Values. And invite you to turn to Titus chapter 2. And in this passage, well, maybe first of all, one thing that drew me to this passage, at home we're working on memorizing the book of Titus, and we just finished with the second chapter. And there's a lot of practical advice here in this portion of scripture here about how we are to transmit values to the next generation. There are four groups of people mentioned in these first eight verses. There are the aged men, the aged women, the young women, and the young men. I don't think I'll show for a raise of hand how many of you think you're in the aged category, but I would suggest if you're 45 or older, just consider yourself in the aged category, and if you're 40 and you'd like to be in there as well, you're welcome to it. While I want all of us to be able to hear truth this morning, I want to especially encourage the aged to think of how we are doing in passing on values to those who are younger, to pass on values that are biblical. And I just say that, you know, if we're 45 or older, we have some life experiences that a 20-year-old doesn't have. And we should have some kind of values that are special that we should be able to speak into the lives of those that are younger. Now, it's also important for the younger to be teachable. It's hard to teach some who doesn't want to be taught. And so it's a two-way thing. As aged people, let's be ready to impart values to the younger ones, and the younger ones have a heart that's open to receive what the older ones want to teach. Let's read Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Now the first verse here starts out with Paul telling Titus, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And if I say anything here this morning that you think isn't quite sound doctrine, I invite you to tell me. I do want to stay based on scripture, the things that I say. Values are being transmitted from parents to children, from the aged to the younger, regardless if it's good values or not. Values are being transmitted. And the encouragement is, let's transmit values that are biblical. Paul is giving a list of things to Titus here, which he, in turn, is to pass on to others, who in turn are to pass on to others, and the line should continue. Karen at home mentioned how when she was in Ulrika, they used to have relay races, and they'd go to, you know, the area competitions, and said their school, they were taught it's very important how you pass the baton on to the next runner. As the first runners coming, some teams would come up, pass the baton, and then they would start off and go. But Karen said their school, they were taught as the runner one comes, at a certain point, the second runner starts and is at full speed as the baton gets handed on, so there's not a break in the process. And she said they often did well because of that, of how the baton was passed from one to the other. And it's important, as we think of passing on values, we want to pass it on in a transition where the speed doesn't break. We don't have to pass it on, stop, and then the next runner goes on, but it should be a continual flow. We keep practicing, don't we? We transmit values by doing and saying, but more importantly, by who we are. Out of who we are flows the doing. For the men, Paul gives instructions that deals largely with character. Talks about being sober or self-controlled, being grave or dignified, temperate, sound in faith, in charity and patience. And then it goes on in how the young men in the same way are to be sober-minded. And then he instructs Titus, show yourself a pattern of good works. Don't just tell people how to do it, but be an example of how to live. And in your teaching, show uncorruptness or integrity, gravity, sincerity. Be careful how you speak so that people can't say things against you. So what forms our character? And I think one of the main things that forms our character is the Word of God. In verse 5 at the end, after the list of how the aged women are to teach the young women and how they're supposed to do it, it's that the Word of God be not blasphemed or spoken evil about. And so the first value I'd like to look at is how do we pass on the value of the Word of God to the younger ones? Is the Word of God precious to us who are aged? If it is, that value should be transmitted. If it's not very precious to us, then it likely, that same idea will be transmitted to the younger ones that it's really not that precious. The value of Scripture. I'd like to look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now in chapter 5, Moses is talking here, and he's telling the children of Israel how the Lord came to them, you saw his glory, you heard him speak, and you got scared. And you said, Moses, you go talk to the Lord. Let the Lord talk to you directly, and then you tell us what the Lord told you, and we'll listen. And so Moses is giving these instructions to the children of Israel. Chapter 6, verse 1 of Deuteronomy. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Now notice a few times it's referenced to this thing. I'm teaching you these things, and when you obey them, it's for your own benefit. It's for your good. Your life will be prolonged. You'll increase. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And so the encouragement here was, pass on the value of the Word of God. Have it ingrained in your mind. Have it ingrained in your heart. In verse 5 it says, which Christ referred to as the great commandment, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And I think when we love God in that way, we also will love his word. They go together. And then it says, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. I think memorization is one way to get the Word of God in our heart, but I think it's going beyond just memorizing, but it's holding the Word of God as being precious. We value it. It becomes a part of who we are. We live it out in day-to-day activities. And if that's how it is, then it should be coming out as we transmit that to the next generation, to teach it diligently to the children. And I think as husbands and fathers, we have the primary responsibility of making so that it happens in our homes. And while this morning's message may be geared more towards fathers and so on, I want to encourage you, if you're single, you have a very prominent role also in influencing other younger ones in instilling the Word of God into their hearts. My dad, and by the way, today it was 3 years ago that we buried him, I think he set a good example of holding the Word of God as precious. In my growing up years, in the morning, we would have our family devotions. Grew up on a small dairy farm. And when the chores were finished, we'd go in the house, we'd have breakfast, and after breakfast, we'd gather in the living room, and Dad would lead out in a family devotion. Sometimes, my children know how easily I can fall asleep. Sometimes I fell asleep during devotions. But it was something that was important to Dad, to have that time together as a family. And then in the evenings, I was number 7 of the children, and so the older ones, as they got older, they would have their personal time with the Lord in the evening, but Dad would take the time in the evening then to read Bible stories to the younger children. And he was the one who took the primary role in that. Now, as mothers, you also have an important role in that, but I think it is the father's responsibility to make so that it happens, whether you do it yourself or you give the instructions for your wife to read the story and so on. I grew up with the Arthur Maxwell Bible stories. How many are familiar with those? Quite a number of them. And you know, the pictures especially are still riveted in my mind as those Bible stories were read. And when I hear a story, you know, there are pictures in there that this is what I visualize because of that time having Bible stories with Dad. And Mom did at times as well, but Dad was primarily the one who gave the Bible stories. Reading or telling Bible stories has a relational dimension to it that doesn't happen when we just turn to your Story Hour CDs. I think we have those CDs, and I think there's a lot of good things that happen, children learn, but there's a relational aspect that is missing when you only sit and listen to recorded stories versus it being transmitted directly from an elderly person to a young person. And just encourage you as parents, take the time to do that. Now, VeggieTales, I've been exposed to that some. It's limited, but my perception is that it lacks the authenticity of the actual Bible stories and is a rather poor substitute for you as a parent telling or reading the stories. The Bible stories are real. Sometimes they're pretty graphic, and there may be some stories in there that it's better not to tell the children until they're a little older. But they're real. Sometimes they're actually gory. And there are times when it's important that we tell the children, this is a Bible story, it's scripture, it gives the mistakes of people, it doesn't just give the good examples. There are a lot of negative examples, and we can learn from them. And as fathers and husbands, let's make sure that we value these stories and we pass them on to our children. It's sort of easy at home. We have our family devotions, and that's when we talk about Scripture. Then we go throughout the day, and it's a little strange to talk about Scripture as we go throughout the day. I don't think that's the way it should be. I think to talk about Scripture, to talk about spiritual things, that should be a part of normal conversation. And just encourage us as fathers to cultivate that, and I want to improve in that as well. Talks about, in verse 9, to write them, to write Scripture upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And this is something my wife does better than I do. In the kitchen sink, right above the kitchen sink, maybe backing up a little bit. If there's a verse that's special to Karen, she tends to write it on an index card and post it up somewhere. And on the kitchen sink, it's the thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. In the bathroom sink, along the mirror and on the walls, there's, I think I counted 8 of them this morning. Just different sayings or verses that speak to us. And sometimes we may not even consciously be reading them, but I think as we glance at them, it has an impact, even subconsciously, that may influence the choices we make throughout the day. And I'd encourage us, put Scripture up on the walls. Have that part of the decor of your home. Be intentional of having the Word of God displayed. And then the last part of this passage, there's a warning that when you get to the land of Canaan and your houses are full, things are going well, beware. Beware lest you forget the Lord. And I think that's one reason why God wanted the children of Israel to be intentional of having the Word of God displayed in the homes. It's even when there's, during times when it's hard, or times when it's easy and it's easy to be distracted, have the Word of God displayed in a way that it can continue to influence you even subconsciously. So husbands and fathers, men, let's do our part in valuing the Word of God and doing what we can to transmit that value to the next generation. But maybe even more importantly than displaying it on the wall is to exemplify it in the life that you live. That is usually what really speaks. If we can have all the Scriptures on the wall, but if our lives are contradictory to what's on the wall, it can turn people against Scripture. And let's be careful that that doesn't happen. Place high value on the Word. And again, as men, I think we have the primary responsibility of transmitting that value to the younger ones. Going back to Titus chapter 2, I'd like to talk a little bit about the women now. Talked about the aged women, that their conduct is in such a way that it displays holiness. And then it tells them that they are to teach the young women to do a number of things. And I'd like to reiterate that the purpose of this list is so that the Word of God is not blasphemed or reviled or spoken badly about. When people see your lives, do they make comments like, they say they live according to the Word of God, but look at that. That's not what the Bible teaches. Or are our lives lived in such a way that, if that's what Christianity is about, I'm not interested. The values are to be lived out in the home that makes gospel living attractive. Out of who you are in Christ should flow the doing. And aged women, well, let me maybe back up a little bit here. I think it's a good thing, and we have valued the thing of our daughters going into the homes of young mothers and helping out. Our daughters have learned a lot, and I value that. But I wonder, what would be the impact if the aged women would be more involved in that and going and helping out in the homes where they're in a crunch, there's a row of little children, and there's needed help. If an aged, experienced woman would step in and offer to help and to pass on some of the values and life experiences that they've had, I wonder what all the long-term impact would be of that. According to this scripture, that's the way it should be, that the aged women are teaching the younger ones these values. Now again, I think it's good when younger girls also go into homes and help. There's a lot that can help, that they can learn from that. But how are we doing? And maybe it's the aged men that should be encouraging the aged women to go and help in these ways as we can. So let's look at a few of the things that are to be taught to the younger ones. The first one is to be sober, or to be self-controlled, disciplined. And that can cover a wide range of areas. It can be in the way that finances are handled, using good judgment, living within your means. Or it can be the work, sleep habits that you have. Are you lazy or are you industrious? What kind of value are you passing on to the next generation? It says, the aged women are to teach the young ones to love their husbands. Now, in a lot of scriptures, when, like the Ephesians 5:1, it's emphasized that husbands are to love their wives. But here it tells that wives are supposed to love their husbands. There are times when that's easy. There are times when it's not so easy. But it's important. It's scripture there that you as wives are to love your husbands. And then it says to love their children. And I don't think it's talking merely about loving the children that God has given you. But our perspective of having children, I think, is included in this. What's our perspective of having large families? I don't think there are as many large families in our circles as there were 50 years ago. Am I correct on that? I think so, just general observation. And I'm not saying it's all wrong, but I'd like to encourage us to think of what is the biblical perspective of children, of having children in the home. And I think Psalm 127 sort of encapsulates that, where we see children as a reward and as a gift. And I think general society has rubbed off on us somewhat in the idea that too many children is a bother. It becomes unhandy. We can't afford it. It's just hard. And yes, it is hard work, but they're a gift. Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Do you see children as a reward, as a gift? As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And so I just simply encourage us, value children. Children are a blessing and a gift. How are the aged transmitting that value to the younger ones? I won't talk about all the whole list here. I'd like to go to keepers at home. I'm not sure how you look at homemaking. Is it a blessing? Is it a God-given ministry? Or is it drudgery? I would say it is a God-given ministry that is blessed. If you want to call it a God-blessed career, if that term suits you better, go ahead. But homemaking is a blessing. It's a blessing when our wives are homemakers. Don't think of it as a lesser work than an occupation outside of the home. I think there are times when it can be appropriate for a wife to have a job outside of the home. But if it distracts from your God-given role as a mother or a wife, I would encourage you to reconsider. Your primary role, if you are a wife or a mother, is to take care of the home and to be a homemaker. If you, as a wife, do have a job, make sure you have your husband's full blessing, not just his consent. Wives are called to be helpers to their husbands. And when you, as wives, pursue personal interests or ministries or something that takes away from you supporting your husband's role, I think you're misguided. I don't think that's what your call is in life. You are there to be a helpmeet for your husband. And I wasn't expecting to hear a lot of amens on that, and that's okay. Now, on the flip side, husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, as 1 Peter 5, 3, verse 7 tells us. It says, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife. And it, to me, that refers about as husbands, we are to care about the heart of our wives. If we don't fulfill that role, it's no wonder if they pursue some other interests. And so I think it falls back on us as men as having the primary responsibility of providing a place at home where our wives feel secure and needed. So let's do our part in that. Don't take advantage of your leadership role, but dwell with your wife according to knowledge. Care for her heart. There's a little bit of reading here in Sword and Trumpet of the May 2020 edition. There's an article in here by Will Taylor entitled Too Long. How many read that? Anyone? Okay, my wife did. She pointed it out to me, and so that's why I read it. Too Long, it talks about Will's wife and he were going to a meeting, and they met a couple. And he asked the couple, so how long have you been married? And the woman responds with, too long. It's not a very good answer, is it? And then later, at another place, he met an elderly couple who was checking out at the register. And so he asked them, how long have you been married? And the husband responds with, too long. And then it says, I said, don't say that. And I asked again, no, really, how long? He said, 15 years. I said, really? Were you married before? What happened to your first wife? He said, we are divorced. My wife and I are both on our second time around. I encouraged them to spend time studying what the Bible teaches about marriage and remarriage. But that answer, too long, is what bothered him. And later it says, today if you tell someone you have been married 5 to 10 years, that is impressive to them. If the answer is 15 to 20 years, they will start asking questions. If a couple is married over 20 years, people are amazed at how long they have endured. People will either respect you and want to know the secret to your marriage, or will think you are just a miserable couple who just puts up with each other. I like to share with them, the reason we are married so long is that we read the best marriage advice book. Some have said, really? What is it called? I tell them, it's the Bible. It is the only marriage book you will ever need. It offers free lessons if you are committed to putting it into practice. Christ is a patient, loving, merciful teacher who cares a lot about our marriages. So as we think about the value of the home, I think there are other books out there who add good perspective, helpful tips in day-to-day situations, how to operate our home. But let's be careful. If they teach things that are not scriptural, beware. It will take you in a direction that we don't want to go. Make sure that the thoughts are biblically based and not merely human philosophy. And so I'd like to encourage us, as aged us, to encourage you aged women, do what you can to transmit these values to younger women. And again, I think it falls back on us as men, ultimately, that these values are passed on. We need to value highly the role of our wives, and support them and encourage them and make sure they're in a place where they are feeling secure and needed. And so these are the two values that I want to encourage us to promote, to pass on: the value of Scripture and the value of the home, that we can transmit that to the younger generation. In Psalm 119, the ESV Study Bible says this about that psalm. The goal of that psalm is to enable God's people to admire His word so strongly that they will work and pray hard to have it shape their character and conduct. Do we admire and hold up Scripture so highly that we allow it to actually shape our character, our conduct? It should. And we go to Scripture to find out how we should value home. Now, towards the end of Titus chapter 2, it talks about the grace of God. And without the grace of God, we won't value these things. It is God. It is the grace of God that enables us, equips us in how to live out these values. And so that is my prayer for each one of us here this morning, each one that's listening, that we value highly the Word of God and the things that it teaches, and we live it out in practical ways. Invite us to kneel for prayer this morning. Father in heaven, this morning we are grateful for Scripture. Thank you that you have given us your word that gives instruction on how to live. It reveals truths about who you are. And just help us to apply it to our lives in practical ways. Lord, I just pray that you would help us to be able to transmit biblical values to the oncoming generations, that they would embrace it and pass it on to the next generation, that it would continue until your return. Lord, we thank you for each one that's gathered here this morning. I pray your grace and strength on each one. Help us to walk in your strength and in your grace. We are needy people. We need you, Lord. Strengthen our homes. Help us to have homes that are places where children grow up to be builders in your kingdom, where they learn to love you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, as well as to love each other. We love you. We thank you for your presence here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.